Evening, everybody.
Hello.
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 Let's see who we've got. Kevin. Kevin? How about Francis?
Yes, I'm here.
And Rochelle?
I'm here.
And Selena? How about Michelle Kadushin?
I'm here.
Good. And David?
I'm here.
And Phyllis?
I'm here.
Gary?
Gary is here.
Wonderful. And Gita? Ronaldo? James?
Ronaldo?
Oh, Ronaldo's here. Very good. James? Deborah Galley? Tanya?
Are you here?
And Lynette?
I'm here.
Deb Gilchrist?
I'm here.
Ron?
I'm here.
Robin? Lonnie?
Here.
I'm here.
Tammy?
Here.
Trudy?
Can you hear me?
Was that Lonnie?
No, it's Robin. Can you hear me? I'm here.
Yeah, we can hear you, Robin. There you are.
Oh, sorry.
I'm here too. Trudy?
I'm here.
There she is. And Heather? And Jay?
Here.
Very good. So I'm still looking for Kevin?
Yeah, here, Dave.
There he is. And Selena? Gita? James?
Hi, guys. Dave, it's Gita. I'm on the call.
Oh, hi, Gita. Good to have you here. How about Deborah Galley? And Heather. All right. Let us get into some new material here. We got some great stuff to talk about tonight. We're going to continue on our discussion about those classical patterns. First, I want to check and see if there are any burning questions that are left over from our last session together.
I have a quick question. This is Robin.
Yeah, Robin.
I didn't get a Session 5 PDF. Did you send the PDF for Session 5?
I think I sent you two of them.
I have Session 3. You did send me that one, and I confirmed with Lee. I'm just not sure.
Okay.
Thanks.
I think you asked about it this afternoon. Did you not with an email? Wasn't that you, Robin?
I did. That was me. I sent it, and I just did a refresh. I'm not seeing it. That's okay. I'm sure it's my mail system.
Yeah, check in your junk mail folder because I resent it to you this afternoon.
Okay.
I didn't get it more either. It's Ronaldo.
Ronaldo? See, I'm using one master list, so it's all going out. So if you would please check your spam filter, your junk mail folder, because if you don't have them, let me know and I'll resend them to you. But they are.
Yeah, I didn't
out.
Get it either. This is Fran Monaco. Did you send it today?
No, I sent them yesterday.
Yesterday? Yeah, I didn't get. I'm looking in yesterday's spam right now.
Okay.
It's 10 a.m. if that helps at all.
What'd you say?
Yeah, you know, I did a search on the email address, both of them actually, and I didn't find it. I'm looking at the three that I have in junk mail, and there's nothing in spam.
No,
okay.
I don't have it there.
They went out at 10:45 last night.
Okay. I'm not saying you didn't send it out. I'm just saying I can't find it.
if you don't find it, drop me a note. I'll email to you after the class is over, which I could do before that, but I can't do it while I'm teaching, unfortunately. But it's important.
It's so funny because you got the other ones, no problem. That was crazy.
Yeah, I don't know why sometimes people don't get through. I mean, it's the same list every time I use.
Yeah.
So there's no real changes that way. So it's going to be important because the exam's going to go out after Wednesday night's class. You don't want to have that get lost anyplace. So.
Well, and that's the point, right? I mean, we don't know. I'm not exactly sure what to do. I'm just using regular AOL mail, so.
AOL is a huge challenge. AOL blocks all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I have AOL also.
Yeah, I had AOL also, but I got all the others. So.
Right, well, we have found the commonality. Okay, thank you, Dave. I don't want to hold the class up, but I just wanted to be able to follow along and take my notes in there.
And I say, if you send me a note sometime this evening, I'll send one out again after class is over to people who didn't get them. But if they didn't get the spam folder the first time, it's going to be a problem second time as well, most likely. All right, any other burning questions before we get into the discussion here?
Hey, Dave. Hi, Dave. This is Selena.
Hi, Selena.
Hi. I wasn't sure if you did check in yet or not. I couldn't find the phone number, so I just wanted to let you know I was here.
Very good. Good to have you here, Selena.
Thank you.
All right. So we have a quick quiz, the Who Said It quiz. And so who would say, I want to go where everybody knows my name?
S.
Yeah, this is most likely an S. If it was not, they'd say, I'm going to go where everybody's going to know my name. Because they're going to become so popular in a hurry, everybody's going to know who they are. But S is going to go where it's familiar, and it's the same, and everybody already knows who they are. So who would say, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts?
C.
That's your high C. So to quote the old Dragnet TV show from years ago, they're fact-based and they want facts and only the facts, nothing else. All right. Who would say, ready, fire, aim?
D.
I.
A lot of silence out there on this one. That's D. The I is going to say, ready, aim. Oh, look, a bird.
Okay.
Okay. Who would say there is no crime in being poor, only in dressing poorly?
I.
Yeah, that is definitely the high I. And who would say that's close enough for government work?
D.
I,
S, that's the high D. They want to get it done, and that'd be perfect. Nope, just close enough. We'll get it done, so I'll go on to the next thing. So that's the high D. Who would say family isn't about whose blood you have, it's who you care about?
S.
That's the high S, that's right. Who would say, if you want something done right, you have to do it yourself?
D.
That's the C.
D.
The C is going to do it right every time, and no one else can do it as well as the C can.
Oh, right.
Right. And last but not least, who would say, I'm so excited?
I.
That's the high I. That's right. All right. So, you know, these things are, you know, I tell you, they're going to get easier as they go along as you learn about them more and spend more time studying them. Again, if you can practice your DISC identification with friends and family and even TV shows, it helps. But you have to make sure you identify not just what they are, but why you think they're that. And then compare that to your DISC notes and see what it tells you. All right. Quick review of session 4. We started discussing the fact we use style combinations, and the important thing here is that this is what separates what I would call real DISC professionals from amateurs. A lot of folks out there say, oh yeah, DISC is easy, D-I-S-C, that's all there is to it. Yeah, those folks cause massive problems with people, both in their personal life and in organizations. The patterns are critically important, and we went through some of the Inscape classical patterns last time. We talked about the fact that patterns identified by the points at or above the midline, and we're going to cover that in more detail, actually, in session 6. We're going to kind of walk through how you create a profile from a manual standpoint so you can see how it's done by the computer as well. most folks are a combination. There are some pure people out there, pure D's, I's, S's, and C's. But most folks are a combination of two and occasionally three different styles. And sometimes it's real clear how the styles combine together, but it's not always obvious how they combine. Sometimes they give you some unique behaviors that you didn't know about, wouldn't have thought about otherwise. And focusing on only one style is a recipe for trouble, because if you don't understand the combination, you can focus on the wrong thing at the wrong time, make the person frustrated and even angry. Now, one other key point here I want to make. We talk about, you know, the D-I-S and C, talk about style combinations. But in session one, we discuss the fact that the DISC only measures certain behaviors. There are certain things DISC does not measure. And some of the things that DISC does not measure are critically important understanding how a person behaves, especially on the areas of values and emotional intelligence. Because DISC points out the possibilities that exist for different behavioral styles, but your own values may sit there and say, yeah, I can't do that. That's not in my value system to do that, or I'll only do it when certain things apply. So as you think about the different style combinations that are out there, discuss tonight things that are going on that way, keep in mind that a person's values are going to impact how they actually apply those behaviors.
Hey, Dave, can I ask a question about that?
Sure.
My grandmother was blind my whole life, and I'm a D-I, but I had to learn to do things differently with her and because of her, like describing things slower in detail because she couldn't see and walk slower and things like that. Is that where that kind of stuff comes into play?
Yeah, it really could play in there very clearly, because while you're behaviors are based on that pattern. Behaviors of your grandmother's going to be different because you view her differently, and what you learned there may apply other parts of your life as well. So,
okay. It's always confusing.
And a pattern, it's not all knowing.
I have a question.
Yes.
This is Heather, Dave.
Hi, Heather.
Hi, on all those patterns that we started to go through, and you're looking at the top two spots typically above the midpoint area, if the bottom doesn't match up, is it still pretty much the pattern?
Yeah, the pattern is decided by the things that are on the top portion.
Okay.
At or above midpoint.
Okay, so the bottom two that are under the midpoint really aren't significant as to where they are.
Yeah, they're basically minor parts of your behavioral style. They're more likely to be impacted by your values and EQ rather than those things on the bottom portion. Because those aren't strong enough in your pattern to make a real difference.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. All right. We also discussed briefly last week the irregular patterns, overshift, all four bullet points are at or above midpoint. Undershift, all four at or below midpoint, and tight, they zigzag right around the midpoint. That's normally a result of a challenge with a person. They're not clear about who they're trying to do right then, who they really are. They can reflect confusion. It's oftentimes when people are too new at what they're doing. They don't know how to respond to the assessment. So normally what I would do with someone like that is wait 90 days and then assess them again, get a much better feel for who they really are then. Or it's just because they're trying to fool the survey. But either way, when you see that, you go like, okay, not a real true pattern. All right. Let's talk about some new and exciting patterns tonight. Let's start with the only pattern here that's really worthwhile, the only one that's really good.
I think it's yours.
Well, I do have some personal bias, so I admit that, yes. Actually, just to be clear for people who don't get my sense of humor, there are no good or bad patterns. They're all just different. I like this one because it's mine, but... All right, the creative pattern. Now, the creative pattern is a D and a C, a very high combination. It could be a higher D than C or higher C than D, but they're right there together. Okay? And you'll see that on page 17 of your report. That pattern is defined there. Let's look at, first of all, the fact that it says the emotion accepts aggression, restrains expression. This is a case where that C is going to overwhelm the D. So they're not as likely to be as angry or abrupt or pushy as this plain old high D is. They certainly can be. It's in their behaviors. But their C is going to temper them for the most part on a regular day-to-day basis. Judge others by personal standards, progressive ideas for accomplishing tasks. So while the C likes things the way they are, much like the S does, like that tried and true pattern, the D says, do we have any new and exciting ideas? It'll help. That'll be stronger in this case than the C will be. What do they tend to overuse? Bluntness, critical or condescending attitude. So that can be a problem, wouldn't you say? Yeah. It doesn't mean they really don't like people, but the process that they go through and the behavior that shows is overly blunt, overly critical. And that's part of that C and D coming together, because that C says, it's got to be right, this is not exactly right, therefore it's wrong. But they're not really trying to be mean to somebody, but it can come across that way. Under pressure, becomes bored with routine work, sulks when restrained, acts independently. So again, you can see the D and the C both playing there different ways. A D is not going to sulk. A D is going to more likely to lash out. But a C may more be likely to sulk there. Act independently, that's coming out of the D, obviously. Okay? Now you'll notice on this pattern, this is a left-hand side pattern. This is all about task orientation. Does not mean they don't care about people, but their behaviors are going to show a task orientation first. They may think about people, but it's not going to show in their behavior. Look at the right-hand side there, the paragraphs. Top paragraph, persons with creative pattern display opposite forces in their behavior. Their desire for tangible results is counterbalanced an equally strong drive for perfection. And their aggressiveness is tempered by sensitivity coming out of the sea. Although they think and react quickly, they are restrained by the wish to explore all possible solutions before making a decision. So they want to get it right. Okay? And the last paragraph there, creative persons want freedom to explore, and they want the authority to examine and retest findings. They can make daily decisions quickly, but may be extremely cautious when making bigger decisions. So the D drives them to day-to-day decisions. The C says, I don't know enough about this. This is a big deal. I need to examine this more closely. Should I take that promotion?
Dave?
Yes.
This is Selena. I don't see that on the slides what you just read. Is that on the catalyst?
No, it's in your personal profile.
Oh. Okay.
Page 17.
Okay. Okay, I gotcha.
Right. Thank you. Should I take the promotion? Should we move to the location? Those are both big questions. They're going to take some examination. In their drive for results and perfections, creative persons may not be concerned with about social poise. As a result, they may be cool, aloof, or blunt. And that cool is not the Fonzie-like cool, believe me. It's not a good cool. It's an aloof kind of cool. So what are your thoughts about that particular pattern there?
Well, that's my pattern, and it really is very, very, very close.
A little scary, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really more accurate in some ways than I would like, but it has made me really think about some things and why I have done some of the things and why I am doing some of the things, you know, that I am, the way I do it.
Yeah. And that's a big plus to someone taking a DISC assessment, because it can show them things that they, you know, at first glance wouldn't see, but then they go, wait a minute, huh. Yeah, you know what, I do that, and I probably shouldn't. So very good.
It seems like there's, you know, a bit of contradiction in it also. You know, aggressive but sensitive, quick decisions but take time to examine. I guess when you're working with a client, you just have to present it that way with both sides.
Yeah, you do. And acknowledge the fact that they may look at this and say, like, well, that's not right. That's just not true. And if they say that, say, okay, well, scratch that out of your profile then. Allow them to, I mean, we go through the profiles and allow them to change things they think are not right for them, because we're not measuring everything. So it's possible that in their particular case, it really might be incorrect. Or they may look at it and go, that's definitely not me. I wouldn't do that. But that seed's been planted. And later they'll say, well, you know, sometimes I might do that, maybe. So let them see it, acknowledge it. They think it's not right. Agree to scratch it out for them. They'll scratch it out themselves. But be aware, if it's accurate, which it oftentimes is, they may realize it later. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm. I think also it can give you permission to really look at something that you've been wondering, you know, why do I do this? And it's permission to do it, just, but you know where the limits are. But it's okay to be that way if you don't go too far with it. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yeah. And don't forget, when we measure the DISC behavioral style, you could have two people who are both DCs sitting side by side, but in one case, the D and C may be higher than in the second case. And those arrows on that chart are there to show the progression there and the strength of the style. So we could both be DCs. I could be higher in both categories than you and demonstrate more of these behaviors than you might.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I guess you also have to really listen, especially with a new client, to the words they use when they're describing what they do in order to kind of see what best fits them too. Am I making sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. The words they use are going to give you some real clues as to their behaviors and their styles. So if you were coaching a creative, what challenges might you face in coaching a creative? Any thoughts?
Well,
This is Deb Gilchrist. I think they're probably going to want results sooner, but they probably want the facts to back up those results.
Yep. Yeah, they're going to want results. They want some facts to back up the results,
and your interpretation of them better be right.
Of course, it's their own assessment, so that it should be right.
But how you're interpreting it, you know, when you look at them and you're talking to them, it's almost like you better be a mind reader and agree with whatever they're thinking.
Well, I think you should be free to challenge, to think about new and different ways of looking at things. But keep in mind, they're going to accept the aggression. If you come across too strong, they're liable to accept that until you reach a boiling point, in which case they'll boil over on you.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's challenging because you see so much D there, but also that C is always there, basically counterbalancing and making them more measured than a typical high D would be.
Okay.
All right, questions? Let's look at the counselor pattern. The counselor pattern is on page 16 of your personal assessment. This is a high I followed by a secondary S. Notice how low the D and C are in this particular pattern. Now, there's very little task orientation in there. So the emotions, they're very approachable. They show affection and understanding. Well, that sounds really nice, doesn't it? I like that. Influences others by personal relationships, open door policy. So again, you see that very heavy orientation toward the people side of the scale. Is there a question?
Oh, they're hippies.
They're hippies? I'm not sure I would call them hippies. I would just tell them they're more open than many people are, but I don't know if I'd call them hippies or not. So, overuses indirect approach and tolerance. Now, think about that. If you're going to be coaching someone who's like this, and especially in a work environment, that indirect approach, this is what I'll sit there and tell you. Well, I talked about that particular problem. Did you? What'd you say? But what they said was, hey, did you watch that CSI episode last night? Wasn't that exciting? Try to tie it back somehow into what's going on at work. Yeah. So indirect that people don't get the relationship there. So you have to be careful of that with a counselor pattern, because they think they're being clear in their communication that way, but they're so indirect, it may not come across that way.
How does that make you feel?
And they worry about the feeling so much, they forget about the fact that you got a job to do. So, fear, pressuring people, being accused of causing harm. So, you'll see people in this kind of behavioral style, as managers, they're very nurturing, they're very caring, but they may not have the numbers, you know, the results, justify their position as a manager, because they're so caring and so sensitive, they can't push for results. So look on the right-hand side there, that top paragraph. Counselors are particularly effective in solving people problems. Oh, there you go. You're a peacemaker. They impress others with their warmth, empathy, and understanding. Their optimism makes it easy to look for the good in others. Counselors prefer to deal with others by building long-standing relationships. As a good listener with a willing ear for problems, a counselor often offers suggestions gently, refrains from imposing his or her ideas on others. So you can see where the term counselor came from here, can't you?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very nice description of this kind of behavioral style, because it really was someone who's going to listen and care and want to help you the right way. Second paragraph, though, says, counselors tend to be overly tolerant and patient with non-producers. Oops. Under pressure, they may have difficulty confronting performance problems. Again, they'll leave that indirect approach, or they'll put it off. They'll do it next week, and it doesn't get addressed. Counselors may be indirect when issuing orders, making demands, or disciplining others. By adopting the attitude that people are important, counselors may place less emphasis on task accomplishment. They sometimes require assistance to set and meet realistic deadlines. So, what are some of your thoughts on that pattern? Do you want to work for a counselor? Ooh, silence.
Probably not.
If I were laid back.
If you were laid back? Okay.
Because that wouldn't pressure me to get things done.
Yeah, as a boss, they're pretty easy to work for. They're going to take care of you. They're going to nurture you. They're not going to yell at you. Would you want to be a boss, would you want to be the vice president having a counselor as a director working for you?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No.
A bit more of a problem there, isn't there? So it's nice having them around because they really can serve a good role. Well, let's take an example here. You take a team that just went through a boss that was brutalizing them. They're kind of wounded warriors. A counselor's going to come in and begin to heal the wounds and help them feel wanted and appreciated again. And if this particular counselor, through their own emotional intelligence and the work they've done in the workforce, has learned the importance of the operational metrics and getting things done, and can begin to apply that, they can be that perfect manager. If not, they may come in and do the healing, feeling good about itself again, and then have to have someone else come in to begin to drive the results of the organization to get things done. Do you want a counselor as a pattern as a friend?
Yeah, sure.
I want all my friends to be counselor patterns. I think that's wonderful. It'd be great people to have as friends.
Right.
Yeah.
This is Robin. I don't think that they'd be great. Sorry. And maybe
why
that's
not?
Because of my pattern.
Okay.
It's like if you are my friend, you are going to tell me directly in a constructive format, yes, but what you see that may be a challenge for me that I maybe need to work on or I may be misinterpreting. For me, when I define friendship, it's the good and the bad. And sometimes it's the ugly, but that they do it in a more current fashion. I guess I'm missing that part of it in the counselor part because you've said that they may be so indirect as to have not said it to someone who needs to have it said directly.
Yeah. So the counselor's going to be there, and they're going to be your friend. They're going to support you and love you. They're not going to tell you, yes, that guy is bad for you. No, you shouldn't eat that cheesecake. And yes, those jeans do make you look fat.
Exactly. Okay. All right, good. That was a great way to a great example. Thank you.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I see the counselor is the eye without the drama.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. The eye without the drama. The eye tempered by that S.
Uh-huh.
Which is a little more realistic, a little more down to earth, not quite so over the top.
Right.
Yeah, that's very true. But that that heavy orientation, as we just pointed out here, can lead to the fact that they may not drive for results. They may be too resistant to tell you the real truth.
Right.
Yeah. Do I want them as friends? I do. But I also, see, you know, use myself as an exemplar. I know my friend's behavioral style. And so I can take into account what I'm hearing and seeing and knowing what needs to happen next. So let's take an example of my coaching practice. I have a small advisory board that I know the styles of people who are on the board. So I get them together for lunch and feedback. I get feedback. I know what questions to ask the different styles because I know what they are. And I can draw out the things in them I need to draw out to know how they really feel. Or I can temper the comments from the other DC in the group to say, okay, I'm going to be a little harsh there. How do they really feel? Okay? So, again, knowing people's behavioral styles allows you to account for the things that are natural to them that don't necessarily fit your particular style.
Dave, this is Deb Gilchrist again. The counselor, you know, I was thinking back to the counselor as a manager or supervisor. They're going to be the one that they talk to their people, find out what their interests are, find out, you know, what do they like to do, and probably get more production out of them if they can find tasks that will that they can put those people in.
Okay.
Of course, if they're not producing, they're going to say, what's wrong, and ask, you know, getting their life story, too.
So, yeah. So if the counselor pattern is a manager of a bunch of high S types who are not inclined to do action on their own initially or initiate action on their own, you may not get much done. If there are a bunch of C types there or some DC combinations who say, yeah, I'm kind of getting beat up. I'm glad you're here. I'm going to work real hard for you. They're just getting things done. So you also want to balance who you're hiring to make sure they complement, not match, complement your behavioral style. Yep. Make sense?
Sure does.
Yeah. Other questions on the counselor? All right. Let's go to the achiever pattern. It's the first one on the list, so it's on page 15. This is, look at that S and that D. So the S and D are natural opposites. In this case, the S is higher than the D, but notice that neither one of them is sky high, but they're both out there. So look at the emotions. Industrious, that's not a high S, and diligent, displays frustration. So that's a tempered D, if you will. They're industrious and diligent, and they have the frustration. And that shows that the S wouldn't have those characteristics on their own. The D would. Goal. Personal accomplishments. Sometimes at the expense of the group's goal. Ooh. That's a little different because that S is very, very group-oriented, very team-oriented. So you'll see the high S, but you'll see the fact that they're putting themselves first. Tempered by that D. Judges others by ability to achieve concrete results. Again, there's that D showing itself through on a pattern that's oftentimes viewed as an S pattern because the S is generally higher than the D. Overuses. Reliance on self, absorption in the task. and you say, wow, you're a high S, but. We have a lot of discussions out here that say, you're a high S, but. Because that D, even though it's lower than the S, still has a pretty big impact on the style of the individual. Would increase effectiveness with more reduction of either-or thinking, clarity of task priority, consideration of optional approaches, willingness to compromise short-term for long-range benefits. So, this scenario you can coach an achiever pattern around the whole idea of changing their thought process and making them more effective. Especially the idea of compromising the short term for long range benefits. These tend to think in terms of what's right today, what do I have to do right now. They don't always think long term, or long term may mean the end of the month versus a year down the road. So again, you got an S pattern that is, again, that thoughtful, reserved behavioral style on the people orientation side, but tempered by the opposite, the active behavioral style with a task orientation. People are going to be confusing to meet in real life because you're going to get confused by saying, I'm not sure what they are. I see both these things in them, and they're opposites. Look at the middle paragraph on the right-hand side. Achievers demonstrate a keen interest in their work and an intense, continual pursuit of accomplishment. They have a high opinion of their work, and under pressure, they hesitate to delegate tasks. Instead, they take on the work themselves to ensure that things are done right. Well, that's fascinating because that's not a D or an S. That's more about the C.
True.
When they delegate, they have a tendency to take back the task if it does not go according to their expectations. Their guiding premise is, if I succeed, I want the credit. If I fail, I'll take the blame.
That's a D.
Yeah. Isn't that a fascinating pattern?
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. And we talk about people as in a group, we talk about the S behavioral style, and you say, here's what S's do. This behavioral style, I'm going to sit there and go like, that's just not me. I'm not really an S then. I can't be. Because that secondary D tempers it so much that in some ways overwhelms the D, but it takes the hard edge off the D as well. Because Ds are known for having that hard edge. So what are your kind of general thoughts on that achiever pattern?
I think I work for her.
You think you work for her?
Yes.
Is that a positive thing or a negative thing?
I think it's a positive thing most of the time.
Okay. Yeah, the high S should have enough caring for other people to balance out that D and still drive to get things done. Notice the title, Achiever. They're going to get things done, but it's more people orientation there.
So you get the best of both S and D?
In many ways, I think you want to argue that that's true. But then I also see that the weaknesses on her being caused by the same thing. I mean, look, again, affect us with more clarity of task priority, consideration of optional approaches. So it takes the best of both worlds, but also in some ways maybe the worst of both worlds as well.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think it's interesting that in some of these patterns, when there are two that are combined, it almost doesn't seem like it fits with what the solution for each pattern is. It almost becomes a whole new thing.
And there you go. That, thank you for saying that. That is a critical aspect of understanding the reason for the classical patterns. When someone tells you, oh, yeah, I heard about DISC, you can't put people in one of four categories. Yeah, we're not. Because with these classical patterns, you're creating a whole series of different behavioral styles. And again, we're only measuring certain things, not everything. But it creates much more than a simple D, I, S, and C.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very good point. Thanks for bringing that up. Very important to understand these things sometimes create new patterns that don't match either one of the parts that are in there, parts that seem to show.
And David, you get experience. Right, because it doesn't really necessarily always take life experience into consideration, right? I mean, I think that, you know, when you kind of say the best of both worlds, I've been listening to what the two of you were kind of going back and forth with, and I thought, this is Robin, sorry, I thought to myself, well, and that doesn't throw in that life experience piece, which could skew it.
Again, so their emotional intelligence, how much they're aware of what they tend to do.
Exactly.
Their values.
Their EQ, yes, their values.
Yeah. So, this is why I've mentioned before, you know, DISC is a great tool for hiring, but it's only part of the hiring process. Because what it would allow you to do, would allow you to see the behavioral style, that combination, that classical pattern, and then know what questions to ask to make sure that they were going to suit the needs of your organization beyond the basics of do they have the right behavioral style or not. Talk about the strengths of the style. Have questions about the weaknesses of the style. How much are they aware of that? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wow. Other questions?
Yes, if you give this test, this assessment, if you do it with a paper, Ray,
uh-huh.
Do you still have all of this information? Do you come out of it with a profile?
And a classical pattern? Yes, you do. Yeah. It takes you longer to put it together because you'd have to do it all manually. It's just going to take
uh-huh.
you, you know, 15, 20 minutes to do something like that. I'm supposed to have it instantaneously. But, yeah, the information is all still there. What you don't get is a nice printed computerized report that says, so, Sally, here's all about you.
So do you give them something, though? Do you give them some kind of a copy of their...
Yeah. The paper profile has the classical patterns in the back of it and allows you to sit there and they can take it with them. They can examine it. They can read about it because there's stuff in there about how DISC works as well. Yeah, so those things are still available in the paper profile. They're not as neat and personalized as the computerized profiles are. But you know, when I want to show off how much I know about DISC, doing it with paper, you know, while I'm talking to someone, yeah, they get the impression that this is really something that's very useful and not something magical that comes out of a computer.
Hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Other questions or comments? All right. I'm going to skip perfectionist. No, I'm not going to skip perfectionist. I'll do them both. Perfectionist pattern, which is the C and S. It shows up on page 19 of your profile. emotions, displays competence. Well, expect that from an S and a C, yeah. Restrained and cautious. There is an S and a C for you. I fully expect that. Value the organization. Conscientious, there's your C. Maintains standards. Yep, and controls quality. Absolutely. Overuses precautions, or procedures rather, and fail-safe controls. That's that caution on the S and the C side. Overdependence on people, products, and processes that have worked in the past. The perfectionist is not going to be an innovator. What's worked in the past will work just fine for the future. We're going to stay with the tried and true. That's the S. I don't want the change. The C says that I know this already works. Why should we change it? Okay? They're perfectionists. Top paragraph on the right-hand side. Perfectionists are systematic, precise thinkers and workers who follow procedure in both their personal and work lives. Extremely conscientious. They are diligent in work that requires attention to detail and accuracy. Because they desire stable conditions and predictable activities, perfectionists are most comfortable in a clearly defined work environment. Very important fact there. They want specifics on work expectations, time requirements, and evaluation procedures. Those are things D's normally aren't going to do. And D's as bosses of the perfectionist pattern have got to find a way to give these things that people need to these perfectionists so they can operate effectively. Second paragraph there, perfectionists may bog down the details of the decision-making process. They can make major decisions but may be criticized for the amount of time they take to gather and analyze information. Again, both the S and the C tend to be slow to make decisions, cautious. They want to gather all the facts and the details. C's want all the details and the facts. S's just fear making decisions. Although they like to hear the opinions of their managers, perfectionists take risks when they have facts they can interpret and use to draw conclusions. Okay. They're going to take little risks, little changes, not big ones. So, thoughts on that pattern? What would you guys have as a challenge in trying to coach a perfectionist?
This is Deb Gilchrist. There's a perfectionist that I have to deal with occasionally, and the thing is, it's only one way to do it. There's only one way. You can't deviate from that way. It doesn't matter. So it has to be this way. It's like, well, no, it's not wrong. It's just different.
So that's
the challenge right there. It's like, no, it's not wrong. It's different. And if they don't, and if something else is not going according to plan,
mm-hmm.
they get all freaky.
And how do you get around that?
Well, in my case, because it was the position I was in, it's like, thank you, I'm aware of the situation, and we are taking the steps we need to take, and you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this is somebody who would be in everybody's business, and it's like, and people would look at me like, what are we going to do, fix this? It's like, okay, I will take care of it. I'll talk to the person or send off the email saying, thank you for your concern. You're right. It does need to be handled, and we're taking care of it.
So, but
basically,
that,
you have to assure that person that it's going to be handled, it's going to be taken care of, And if you're coaching them, though, you have to work with them to open their mind a little bit more.
Yeah. Exactly.
They'll realize that their way all the time.
Yeah. And one of the things you can
it
do there
like with you use your authority
your pattern is to help make the new ideas their ideas. You know, plant the seeds, nurture them appropriately. When they become their ideas, they become automatically become good ideas.
Oh, like my mom used to do my dad, no problem.
I wouldn't know about that, but I believe you.
Every mother does that to the father, yeah.
So,
at least that's what I was.
This whole idea, though, that you know, they'll make the change when they think that they're right. So they need the facts. Give them the facts. Get them to make the decisions and on the changes to be made. Give them the outcomes you're looking for. Let them get there. And then encourage it.
Right. That's what I was kind of thinking, because it sounded kind of like he was using authority to force them into it, which means they're never really there. They're not on board with you.
Yeah, you can't
and
force
you
them.
Give them that extra time. Right, right. That gives them that extra time to catch up to where everybody else is. And what's kind of nice about it is that even though they may show up a week or two later, they may be flawed because of their attention to detail out of that group.
Yep. Yep.
And like for the one person I was talking about, the whole idea is to find her something to do to keep her very active and engaged in something else so that she's not annoying the rest of the world with stuff she doesn't need to worry about.
You're implying here that perfectionists might be annoying?
No, this particular one is. Not all of them, but this particular one can be.
Yes. I would agree with that. All right. I want to go on here. What was that time? But the last pattern I want to talk about, the practitioner, very important pattern. It's on page 20 of your profile. Look at it here. How low that D is, but both the C, the I, and the S are above the midpoint. So look at this. This is interesting. Emotions wants to keep up with the others in effort and technical performance. So they're competing with other people. That's normally not what you get out of an I or a C that way. Influence others by confidence in their ability to master new skills. And this is how they influence others. Development of proper procedures and actions. Well, there's your C, right, coming out there. The right procedures and the right set of actions. That of the organization. Skilled in technical and people problem solving. Well, that's the I over the C very clearly. Displays proficiency and specialization. So again, the C over the I. Under pressure becomes restrained. Well, it's got to be the C part, can't be the I, but look how high that I is there. Sensitive to criticism. Top paragraph on the right-hand side. Practitioners value proficiency in specialized areas, spurred by the desire to be good at something. They carefully monitor their own work performance. Although their aim is to be the expert in an area, practitioners frequently give the impression they know something about everything. This image is particularly strong when they verbalize their knowledge on a variety of subjects, so they can come across as a bit of a know-it-all, which is not what you get from a C, because Cs don't want to talk about all the things that they know until you engage them in a detailed discussion. Second paragraph there. As practitioners interact with others, they project a relaxed, diplomatic, and easygoing style. Well, that sounds delightful. This congenial attitude may change quickly in their own work area. They become intensely focused in order to meet high standards for performance. So that congenial attitude is going to change to something very different than that. because they value self-discipline, practitioners evaluate others on the basis of their ability to focus on daily performance. They have high expectations of themselves and others. They tend to verbalize their disappointment, which is not normally something you get out of a C. So, here's what makes this particular pattern, to me at least, so fascinating. It is really, really difficult to identify someone as a CIS pattern without a profile. It can be done, but it's really, really hard because to the common person, to the person who's just involved in this for a short time and maybe not fully engaged in it, this behavioral style looks an awful lot like a high D.
Hmm.
Yeah. You'll see they'll get intense. They'll start pushing things to get done. They'll start driving for results. People sit and say, well, they're very clearly a D. They oftentimes look like a D to the untrained eye, but they're not. And what they want out of life is different than a D wants. So it's a pattern. But critically important to understand how it works and how it looks, because if people are working with that style and they think it's their person dealing with a D and they're not dealing with a CIS instead, they're going to piss that person off an awful lot. Treat them like a D when they don't have D in their insides. Okay? So, yeah, read that one some more. Read that one a lot, because that's an important pattern. It's not common. I've only met 5 or 6 of this pattern in my 10 years of doing DISC. But you have to understand what they really are and what they really want, or you'll treat them incorrectly. All right?
Okay.
I'm going to send you guys 2 emails tomorrow, so watch for them both early. One is going to be the session 6 slides. They'll be out by 9 a.m. Mountain Time tomorrow morning. I'm also going to send you guys a couple of different styles of DISC reports as well. We'll cover them in class just briefly on Wednesday night. But one point is you see what these things exist and how they can be used, including some of the circumflex model that you guys have been asking about. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Thank you.
Everybody have a great night. We'll talk to you guys all Wednesday night.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you. All right.
Bye-bye.